I'll read a couple of verses here from the book of Romans. I think I read them the other night, and I think I'll read them again. Romans chapter 8, verses 30. Says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, there's no question as to the truth of that. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'd be with us throughout time and throughout eternity. He'll be with us.
Amen.
He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all of his people. Those that he did predestinate, those that he called, his people. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I was thinking of Martha. She was called and justified.
Amen.
And when a person, a sinner, is justified, he's free, absolutely free from all guilt and all sin. That's one of the best things I ever heard of in my life. To be justified, that God looks upon you as though you had never sinned. And you had sinned a million times, but He looks upon you as free from all sin. That's what being justified is. And you're justified before Him. And that's where it counts. It don't count before me or before the preacher, your best friends, your wife, your girlfriend. Doesn't count. But it counts before God. Well, justification is instantaneous. It's right now. And it's complete. There's no adding to it or taking from it. Absolutely free. And the best thing about it is, or one of the good things about it, everything about it is good, it's a permanent act. It never reverses itself. Permanent. Throughout the ages. The sinner that's saved by the grace of God is free from all sin, and it's guaranteed by God Himself, and it'll never be taken away from Him. Oh, my soul, God is to be adored and to be worshipped and to be praised for what He's done for His people. Wonderful is that. Permanent act. It can't be taken from you forever and forever. All right.
prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this evening that You would allow us the privilege to hear Your Word read. Thank You. Thank You for Brother Scott. Thank You for the blessing that You've bestowed upon this assembly. Maintained this place all of these years. Lord, we ask You to bless the Word this evening. Bless it to our heart and understanding. Let it not just be words. Let it truly come to us in power for Christ's sake. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And we'll just pick up where we left off last time. Paul the Apostle had wisely, under the guidance of the Spirit of God, done something to Timothy that he refused to do to some Gentile, Greek Gentiles, that circumcised. Some men were trying to make an issue out of circumcision and trying to say that if you weren't circumcised, you couldn't be saved. Making a stipulation. Whenever you start adding works, your works, anything you do, if there's anything that you have in your mind that you have to do in order to be saved, that's works. And salvation is not a works. Salvation by the grace of God. You say, well, I've got to believe. When you believe, God's already given you a new heart. Men don't believe with an old heart. Flesh is flesh. It doesn't believe God. When a man cries out for mercy, God's already shown him mercy. When a man says, Lord, save me, God's already saved him. He just told him. And he responds. Paul had circumcised Timothy not because someone pressured him to do it. He circumcised Timothy because he wisely removed any prejudices from believing Jews, not unbelieving. You're not going to please a goat. You're just not going to please a goat. You're not going to please one. You're just not going to. And these two preachers, Paul and Silas, gone through and delivered some decrees that had been given the apostles from the church in Jerusalem to be brought around to the different churches to kind of settle them, give them some wise instruction on what would be expected of them in order that they would not be unnecessarily offending people for no reason. That's what all of it was about. Don't eat meat that you know sacrificed to idols. Don't do that. There's nothing wrong with it, but you're going to offend somebody unnecessarily. Don't do that. Well, we find now, after they've been going and preaching, we find an amazing thing happens here. Starts in verse 6 of Acts 16. It's a very personal, very real act by the Spirit of God. Listen, it's the easiest thing in the world for us to just almost forget that the Spirit of God is vitally involved in the life of God's people. He's real. He's real. He's personal. He personally guides. The Spirit of God is in this place. Now, do you believe that? God's Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, God's Spirit, where two more are gathered together in My name, I'm in the midst of you. Leading, guiding. He's teaching. He said, He'll bring all these things, the Lord Jesus Christ said, back to your memory. He'll teach you. He'll teach you. You hear, you're hearing some words. But the teaching of it, the instruction of it, the learning of it, the believing of it, that's by God's Spirit. God's Spirit teaches that. We find, though, that the personal guiding of the Spirit of God in the lives of these two men occurred here in this first part of this passage. Verse 6, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. Now, God the Spirit speaking. Remember, all of the Scriptures are God-breathed, God-inspired. This is what Amos, let me read this to you, Amos 4:7. The Spirit of God speaking says, and also I have withholden the rain from you when there were yet 3 months of the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the piece thereupon it rained not, withered. Now, literal rain, I don't doubt a bit. Don't doubt one bit. I mean, if it started raining this afternoon, that rain right there is at the direct order and decree of Almighty God. It rains where God says it's going to rain. But spiritually speaking, some places it rains spiritually, and some places it doesn't. Who is the one that decides where the Word of God, the gospel of God's free grace, who decides where that's going to be preached and blessed? God. God Almighty. God is the one that raises up. God is the one that sustains. There's buildings all over this country, all over this world. But the places where the free grace of God Almighty is preached, God raised them up. And God sustained them. Everything else, men raised them up. Any place you find where the gospel of free grace is not being preached, where Christ is not being honored as sovereign, Lord, Master, Almighty God didn't raise that up. That's not of the Lord. Where God raises up a church, God Almighty blesses that word. Now, here's two men, and they had it in their minds that they were going to do just exactly what the Spirit of God had impressed them to do. Go and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And they decided they were going to go and they were going to take these cities and they were going to go, and the Spirit of God said no. No. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to enlighten, to strengthen, to guide God's people. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, here's my question. Why would the Spirit of God not allow these men to go and preach the gospel in these cities of Asia? We're not told. We're just not told. Paul said we purposed, we were going to go, and the Spirit of God wouldn't let us. We were forbidden. You know what this says to me? God's sovereign. He does as He will. This proves that the glorious message of the gospel is not just thrown to the wind and haphazardly just out there somewhere. Almighty God raises up a place where God Almighty, desires, pleases to raise up a place where he can have his message preached. And where God raises it up, God's going to get his people there. I'm telling you, this thing of men talking about we got to, you know, we got to do this and we got to use this program and this method and stuff like this. There's one thing that's needed. And it's not hot dog suppers, and it's not hay rides and getting the kids, you know, maybe get the kids over here and maybe we'll do this. I tell you, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. And where God Almighty is pleased, He'll get His people under that gospel, and they'll hear. Now, how He gets them there is up to Him. They wanted to go. They wanted to go and preach in Asia, and the Lord said no. You know, to some people, this message is a savor of death unto death. To some, it's a savor of life unto life. But all that God has purposed to call and put into that gospel, they will in time, they'll hear. They'll hear what's being said, and they'll believe it, and they'll love it. There's the key. There's the key. Many hear, and will give a mental assent. Oh, I've told you before about my daughter. She told me, she said, "Dad, I understood what you were saying. I knew the difference between sovereign grace and free will, man choice. I could give a good argument." She said, "I just didn't have a heart for it. I could take it or leave it, really." She said, "I didn't want you to know that. But I could." But now how these preachers were forbidden. They were forbidden. Why were they forbidden? We're not told. How were they forbidden to preach the gospel? Well, again, we're not told. It just, the bottom line was, Paul the Apostle says, we were forbidden. We wanted to go to Asia. We were forbidden by the Spirit of God. We wanted to go to Bithynia and Mysia, and the Spirit of God suffered us not. No. Whether it was an impulse of the heart, providentially, whether Paul, in a vision, we're not told. But Paul said, we could not go. And so it says that they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. What they did, they just walked right through the city. And they didn't say anything to anybody. They just left. Paul knew, we cannot go here. We cannot go to Asia. We cannot go to Mysia. The Lord has forbidden us to go. I use this church so many times. Why did God raise up a church in Katy, West Virginia, and bypass Bridgeport, or bypass here? Why? It pleased Him to do so. It pleased Him. It pleased Him to raise up a place here. Well, after arriving in Troas, the Scripture says, verse 9, a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." Now, in this vision, Paul knew that the man was a Macedonian. He knew. Here was the call of God. Here was God impressing upon a preacher. God had already promised back in Jeremiah. He said, "I will send you pastors after my heart. I'll send them to you." Now, God had purposed that Paul was going to go to Macedonia, that country. God Almighty sent a vision to Paul. How was it manifested? I don't know. When Paul said, "I knew a man who went to the third heaven," whether in the Spirit, out of the Spirit, I don't know. He said, "I just don't know." But he said, "I heard things that I just can't utter. How did he know that this man was a Macedonian? Paul knew. He knew. Whether it was the clothing in the vision, whether it was the dialect in the vision, we're not told. But whatever it was, Paul knew that this man was a Macedonian. And in the vision, he said, "Come over here and help us." Whenever I came from Franklin to come here, I mentioned this last week, a week before last. I struggled after I'd met with the men here. I struggled on what to do. Didn't know what to do. And two things became vitally clear to me. Number one, in time, I wanted to go to West Virginia. That's the first thing. Second thing was, I didn't want to be in Franklin anymore. Now you think, well, that's almost, you know, understandable. Whenever Almighty God gives a man or a woman a desire to do something, they don't want to do what they did before anymore. Why did he go to Macedonia? Why did he want to go to Macedonia? The Spirit of God had impressed upon this man that the country of Macedonia needed some help. There stood a man. Urgent call. He prayed him. Come over here and help us. Here's the cry of God's people. They need some help. They need some help. They need to hear the gospel. What greater need does a believer have than to hear the message concerning Christ? What else is more important? What else? Come over here and help us. We need some help. Faith cometh by hearing the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the command of Almighty God through His work. It was plain to Paul that the Spirit of God had forbidden him to go to Asia, so he didn't want to go. If a man or a woman believes this is not what God wants me to do, I don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to do that. But I do want to do this. And so, he would go and help them. He would go and help those that God Almighty had extended His help to. That's where he was. It was God's message. The help of every preacher is to preach to God's sheep of the mercy, grace, and compassion of Almighty God. And look at the response of it. Verse 10, 11, and 12. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. There was an urgent desire to be there. Man or woman that God calls. When God calls a man out of darkness, how long you think it takes that man in his heart to come? When he says, "Come unto me, all you weak and heavy laden," if the Spirit of God puts that on your heart, you're there. I want to go. I want to be there. Immediately, we endeavored to go. You know, I tell you, a believer may be made to wait patiently for a while. I think we'll go to Asia. No. I think we'll go to Mysia. No. No, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to Macedonia. Sent a vision to him. Paul knew who it was. And he was assured of the direction that he had to go, and he moved. He moved. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I just not being somewhere to preach. Not being here on a Sunday morning. Not being here, Brother Scott, on a Wednesday night to preach. I just can't imagine that. That's what I want to do. I want to do this. We endeavored. We immediately endeavored. Why did they want to go immediately? Paul said, because assuredly, concluding, gathering, that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. That's where the difference is. The Lord called him. If my mama, I love my mama, my mama says, Marvin, I think you ought to go over in South Louisiana and, you know, preach over there. But, yeah, but Mom, God didn't call me to go there. Assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel to them. That's why. A believer convinced of God's personal call burns with the desire for obedience toward Him that's called him. When Paul says immediately, we endeavored to go. You know what that word interpreted is? Worship. Worship. We immediately desired to obey with assurance. That's worship. Obedience. Remember what was said, that example, one of the best examples the Lord told Abraham, offer Isaac, your son. He told the fellows, he said, the lad and I are going to go up yonder and worship. He's going to go sacrifice his son. We're going to go worship. They immediately endeavored to go to Macedonia. They wanted to go. Wanted to obey God. Well, verse 11 says, therefore, loosing from Troas, he came straight, Samothia, next day Neapolis, from thence Philippi, chief city, that part of Macedonia, and we were in that city abiding about 3 days. And the scripture says, after certain days, and then it says in verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. There's the apostle Paul and Silas with him, now convinced that they were in the right place. This is where God sent us. This is where we're supposed to be, right here. We're in Macedonia. And they came to this place, this chief part of Macedonia. They were in Philippi. Now they're here, been there a few days, and the Sabbath day comes. Well, convinced that they were where they were supposed to be, they did what every believer desires to do when God's people come together. They're not going to neglect the assembling of themselves together. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, with more assurance, as we see the day approaching. As we see the second coming of Christ, yes. But as I see the day of the departure of this old body, I'm getting older. Things don't come as easily as they used to, and stuff like that. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting one another, so much the more as we see the day approaching. I'm going to leave this world. One of these days I'm going to die. Or the Lord will return if He does. And if He does, I won't prevent those that died in the Lord before me. They'll be raised first, then we'll meet them in the air. But as we see the day approaching, the day of His coming, the day of my departure, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. And it was on a Sabbath day. Paul says we went out of the city by a river. And some prayer was being made. And he said we went out and we sat down. out of the city, out of the bustle, hustle of the care of the city, where prayer was wont to be made. There was a group of ladies out there, some women out there, and they had had a place that they met together, an open-air spot that the Spirit of God had directed some women to come together and meet, and they had a time of prayer. And I don't doubt for a second of reading of the Scriptures. The Lord told some fellows one day, he came into the temple, and he said, this house is going to be called a house of prayer. You've made it a den of thieves. Well, they read the Scriptures there. It was a place of where God's Word was read. And these women met together, and it was a place where the apostle came and sat down and worshiped with them. Had a place, sat down, spake with them. And no doubt about it, they spake of the Lord. They spake of the Scriptures. They spake of everything that they knew concerning Almighty God. And the Scripture says, verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, here we see the glorious hand of God's providence working in the life of this woman, a certain woman. Just like there was a certain disciple named Timotheus, and he had a certain mama, and her name was Eunice, and she taught him the Scriptures from the youth up. Here was a certain woman, and her name was Lydia. Now, you know the Scripture that says, John 10:14, I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. Here is the shepherd directing some preachers. They decided that they were going to go to Asia. No, not going to go to Asia. Well, go to Mysia then. No, no, not going to go to Mysia. Sent a vision to him, and how Paul knew, he knew, had got, I got to go to Macedonia. We're going to go to Macedonia. He got to Macedonia, and on the Sabbath day, here he crossed paths with an object of God's mercy that he had eternally loved. Here was a woman, a sister, our sister. All that believe, this is our sister. Her name's Lydia. They're like Martha. There's a Lydia, an object of God's mercy. And here Lydia comes, and she's there, directed to the spot, apart from the business of this world, and assembled with a group of people that had come there to pray and read the Scriptures. Here was grace before grace. Just like Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus, so he climbed up a sycamore tree. How did the Lord get Zacchaeus where he wanted him to be, that he would hear the gospel? By power, by grace, by providence. How does God get anybody? How did you get here? Well, my mama goes here. My daddy, we've always been going here. I'm here. I'm dating this one. I came here. How God Almighty got you here is God's business. That He got you here was by the grace of God. That He got you under the sound of the gospel. Now here's what's said about this woman. She was a seller of purple. She wasn't obviously a real rich woman. She probably had some people working for her, but she was just a hard-working woman. She was a business lady is what she was from this time. And she worshiped God. You say, well, that just means that she was a believer. No. That word right there, worship, it means she was devout and she was religious. And I know a lot of devout and religious people that are not believers. I know a lot of people that are devout and people that are religious. But what a person believes, who a person believes. This woman worship God. She was devout and she was religious and she came to the prayer meeting and she'd chime in and she'd use all of the religious wording that she knew and she'd just... But what happened was this woman heard us. She heard with some understanding. She heard when Paul was preaching. She'd gone through the motions for a while. She had a form of godliness, but she denied the power thereof. She heard some religious stuff. I heard religious stuff a long time. I sat in church a long time. I knew how to say salvation. I knew the word grace. I know the word believe. I knew a lot of religious words. But I didn't know Christ. The woman was religious. But she heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Here was a preacher that was preaching the truth. Wasn't just being just religious, patting people on the back. He was a preacher. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? How's a man going to call on Almighty God if he doesn't believe in Him? And how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? How are you going to believe? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Men and women hear the gospel by preachers. God sends preachers. That's God's way. He sends a preacher. Raises up a preacher and He gives him a heart. He teaches him the message. Gives him a heart for the message. Gives him a heart to declare the message. Then God blesses the message according to God's purpose and will. She heard. God gave this woman a hearing ear. She heard. How do we know she heard? Well, here's what the Scripture says. Whose heart the Lord opened. God opened her heart. She didn't. God did. God Almighty, like a door that had previously been shut, God just opened her heart to understanding and belief and love for. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." God gave her a new heart. New mind, new will, new affection. That's what it is. And that which Paul preached wasn't discernible by her old mind, heart, will. What was the evidence? What was the evidence, first of all, to her, that God had given her a new heart? What was the evidence to Lydia that God had given her a new heart? I'll tell you what it was. Here's what it was. She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now, I'm going to be real honest with you. There's a pretty good group of people right here. Most of you looking at me. Most of you can hear. But I don't know whether or not you attend to the things spoken of or not. I don't know. You do. I don't. How did she know that the Lord had opened her heart? She attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. She brought them near in affection. That's what it means. She attended. She held on to them. Held them close. Gave attention to, cared for, attached herself, and did cleave. She attended. I like that. That sounds good to me. That's got a savor of life to me. I like what I'm hearing. That's what she attended unto the things spoken of by Paul. God's people attend to the things spoken of by Christ through His preachers. They give an attention to it. And how did this inward change make itself known to others? First of all, she attended to the things spoken of by Paul. But how did others know it? Well, verse 15 says, and when she was baptized, when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. She was willing to openly confess the Lord Jesus Christ that had opened her heart in the manner that He had ordained. God opened her heart. And she attended to the things that were spoken of the Lord. How did the others know it? She was baptized. She obeyed the Lord in believer's baptism. Turn over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19. This is the Lord speaking. Matthew 28, 19. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, disciple them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. This is what happens. If God Almighty has done something for you, do you know what His command is? It's not a suggestion. It's not a suggestion. This is a command. Be baptized. Confess Him in believer's baptism. Now that's not my word. That's not Brother Scott's word. This is a word of Almighty God. She confessed Him in baptism, whose heart the Lord opened. She attended to the things which were spoken of by Paul when she was baptized in her household. Not only had the Lord been pleased to call this woman out of darkness, but according to that word, she and her household were baptized. Well, do you think that they were believers? Well, just turn over to verse 40 of this as I wrap up this. It says in verse 40 of Acts 16, and they went out of the prison after they'd been in prison. Lord willing, we'll deal with that, the prison. Paul and Silas, when they were singing in the Lord, they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, well, brethren is more than one. The Lord had been pleased to save her and her household, baptize them. And that was the final evidence of that true conversion. She desired the fellowship of God's people. She besought us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Lord willing, we're going to go, as I've told you, we'll fly out on Thursday, go down to Mexico, and as far as